When you love riding a motorcycle, you want to ride it everywhere, even to a physical.
Let's check your weight. Hop on the scale. Look at that. You're down a few pounds.
Oh, yeah. Must be the new carbon fiber wheels.
And when you love saving money, you want to save even more. That's why GEICO makes it easy to bundle your motorcycle and car insurance.
I'm going to prescribe 91 octane for your engine knock, and we'll want to see you again in 3,000 miles.
Kickstart your savings with GEICO Motorcycle. Bundle and save on the things you love.
We're speaking with Mr. Jimmy Page.
Hello there.
Mr. Page has been, I know, been responsible for and I guess supervising the remastering of so much of the Led Zeppelin catalog. As you were coming up as a studio musician, obviously you were paying attention to the way they were miking the drums and recording the guitars, et cetera, et cetera. That really had to be helpful when you started recording albums with Led Zeppelin, I assume.
No, you're absolutely correct. You know, I was just session man for, you know, way over 3 years, and I was very interested in home recording anyway, thanks to Les Paul. But there was lots of things that I'd heard on records that I was very keen to find out how things were done, and I would ask the engineers, you know, if they had a little spare moment. I was just a hired hand in those days, but I paid a lot of attention to how things were done because I was very interested in it.
Now, prior to Led Zeppelin, you mentioned you were a session musician. You played on all kinds of records. Any particular favorites that come to mind when you think about your days as a young kid in the sessions?
Goldfinger.
Are you kidding me? Shirley Bassey, Goldfinger. We play that on the air all the time, Mr. Page. I'm not kidding.
That's one of Tom's favorites.
I think that's one of the greatest vocal recordings of all time. How she didn't blow up the mic, I'll never know.
Yeah. Well, she did collapse after the first take.
Is that
she
right?
She only came out and did one take. Yeah, but we could talk about that for ages, and I could talk about all the pop records I was on, but the reality was, you know, I was a really, really accepted studio musician.
Wow. Getting back to the contemporary versions of the Led Zeppelin catalog that you have remastered, can you talk about the BBC sessions? And was some of this stuff, were you hearing it for the first time in quite a long time, or did you always have the tapes?
I didn't really have the tapes as such. However, I had worked on a 2-CD release back in about 20 years ago now. What I'd like to say to you about the BBC sessions is that for Led Zeppelin, like in 1968, when we come over there in the December of 1968, that the radio over there for the, or at least where I was designing the Led Zeppelin album to go was on underground radio, which was FM, which was stereo, and which was getting to the point of playing whole sides of records. And so I knew what that meant, you know, for the whole of the States, this whole situation of this great sort of sonic radio, and where you could have longer tracks and you're not confined to something which is going to be 3 minutes. And that's basically where I was sort of aiming. But over here in England, we didn't have the FM radio like that. It was AM, equivalent of AM radio, just pop music. And there were these few little slots in the BBC where you could go in and play live. And the way that we would approach it in the going into these recordings, because it was a short time that you were allotted for the recordings, we'd go in there, be fearless, and the whole attitude of the band just comes screaming at you out the speakers, you know, for this new band. And that's what we wanted. I really wanted it to sort of grab people by the throat, you know, if they listen to the broadcast.
And they still do. We're talking with Mr. Jimmy Page of Led Zeppelin, who has been remastering the Led Zeppelin catalog and the brand new Rhino Records release of the complete BBC sessions. What I always love about these recordings, Jimmy, is sometimes in the BBC stuff, you'll hear these announcers that sound completely out of touch. And now the sounds of the Led Zeppelin. And then you guys just come in and just kick it all up, and it's amazing. How much did you guys actually get nervous when you did these, or were you so well rehearsed and had been played so long you were okay with it?
Well, by the time we do the first recording, which is the 3rd of March 1969, by then we already, you know, in the States we had our album out. We'd already played in California, the Whiskey A Go-Go, and then we'd played in San Francisco. And we had a number of nights in a row there, and somehow right from that point, the news of what this new band was about just traveled like wildfire. And I guess across the radio waves, you know, from radio station to radio station. Mm-hmm. And, you know, by the time we were sort of February and March, we were really, the audiences were really, really flooding in to see us. And that was all as a result of word of mouth and also the airwaves. So really, it's America that really, really broke the band. But in record speed, I don't think anybody's ever done has ever been able to do that. I don't think they have, really.
Yeah. We're speaking with Jimmy Page. You're in England. We happen to be in the state of Indiana. I don't know if you remember this, but a friend of mine has a photograph of you on a very small stage in Indiana, and I think you're playing bass with the Yardbirds in August of 66.
Yeah, it's the first tour.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, because I joined replacing the I was at a gig when the bass player sort of decided to call it quits, and they had shows coming up, one of them being the Marquee Club, and I'm sure you've heard of the Marquee Club in London. That was a big prestige date in the day. And I said, well, I'll play bass, because they didn't know what they were going to do. And Jeff and I had spoken about doing some guitar, like twin guitars and things like that in the band. And all of a sudden, like, this opportunity sort of arises to actually be in the Yardbirds. And yeah, I was playing the bass, but there was some numbers where I did guitar as well, and I may well have played the bow at that point.
Wow.
As well. And Chris Dreher, the rhythm player, would have played the bass.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Once again, we're speaking with Jimmy Page. And now, have you completed all of the remastering now of the entire Zeppelin catalog?
Well, it's a studio catalog I have. Yeah, all of the albums from Led Zeppelin 1 through to mm-hmm. Coda. I've done all of that. So, you know, that's pretty substantial, because that doubled the amount of information that was out there from the original catalogue, if you like, with all the, you know, the different versions of things and all the rest of it. I mean, that was a really substantial sort of odyssey of work. You know, it's quite an epic to do that. So that was all the studio material.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's been presented very well and yeah, superbly well. But with the BBC thing, at two CDs before, now there's three CDs, because there's all this extra material mm-hmm. And it gives a complete picture, which is, as I say, it's exactly what I always want to do, not just a part of the picture.
Mr. Page, thank you so much.
It's been a real pleasure.
Yes,
thank you very much.
For us
yes.
too.
Bye there.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
The United States Soccer Federation presents the U.S. Soccer Podcast.
The place where I,
Megan Klingenberg,
a World Cup expert, teaches you everything that you need to know for this summer's World Cup.
How special is it that we've been able to follow this young group of guys?
It's been such a roller coaster of emotions.
You can feel the intensity.
Quite a bit of time, energy, effort, everything along the way on these guys making the country proud. And I think they will this summer.
The U.S. Soccer Podcast, presented by Henkel. Follow and listen on your favorite platform.